prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
Welcome to this episode of the Hagman & Hagman Report. Well, we're coming to you live from our radio and television studios here located in gorgeous northwest Pennsylvania. We broadcast live every weeknight. That's five nights a week, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Or, you do the math. Folks, we're simulcast on BTR Radio, and you can watch us live and by archive on YouTube. Our home base is HagmanandHagman.com. Our flagship station, our flagship network, is the Global Star Radio Network, to which we give a lot of thanks. They host just a number of great shows. Dave Hodges, Ted Brower,
Russ Dizdar,
us. Hey, what more can you want? You never have to change the dial, so to speak.
Before we get started.
Yeah, sure. Oh, yes. You've got, okay, stand up.
At the Hear the Watchman conference, a gentleman by the name of Paul made these shirts, one for me, one for my dad. Our names are on the back. But check this out, Eric the Tech Fan Club. I love it.
He's got, actually, folks, he has a cast of people. He's got a fan club.
We had to hire separate bodyguards and security.
Well, and folks, you can write to Eric at eric@hagmanandhagman.com. All right, and tell him how much you like his work, because he makes us look pretty. Did you hear that threat?
Don't give him any crap, because you'll get it right back.
All right.
His website, Tech Nation Report.
That's right. It's under construction, TechNationReport.com. Under construction, Tech, T-E-C-H, NationReport.com. It's good. It's good. Anyway, before we get started, I just want to mention tonight's broadcast brought to you by, and yes, these cost money, brought to you by, it's finally out, Stained by Blood. Folks, this is my book. It's kind of climbing on Amazon, which I'm really appreciative of, and this is a story from 1987. This is based on a true story. I got to watch what I say here, because this involves a murder, involves people that are still walking around, okay? Some in jail, some still walking around, some dead, some alive, some whatever. But this book is a saga, based on a true, again, I have to watch what I say, based on a true story.
It's his diary.
Just about. And I just got an email here real quick. I'm just going to share this with you. Because it relates to the book, and I'm so humbled by this, really. And this is from Neil. Neil, if you're listening, I just want to say thank you so very, very much for this email. Now, unsolicited.
Yeah, we just came in right before the show started.
Right. And he writes this. He said, "Doug, I got your book at the Watchman Conference. By the way, you have one." I did something really stupid, folks. I submitted the wrong proof, okay, which, boy, did people tell me about that.
I might notice a few.
Oh, yeah.
It's errors, but mostly in the forms of punctuation.
Right, forgetting close quotes and stuff. Anyway, I submitted there were four different proofs. You know, you send one out, you actually send them to different people, and then you have the final proof, and then you take that final proof and have it final proofed again. Well, I grabbed the wrong one and submitted the wrong one, and the bottom line was, whoops. So if you got one at the conference, you'll notice grammar errors, you know, and such. Hang on to it, because when I die, maybe it'll be worth money. Who knows, right? Kind of like a... But then Joe said something the other day. What would you say? Even the mint. Was it you that said that? Even the mint makes mistakes, right?
No, that wasn't me, but yes, they do.
All right.
And a quick answer to somebody in chat. Where do I request an autographed copy? What we're going to do is we're going to order a couple hundred books here to the studio.
Well, actually, the store. It's going to be part of the store, yeah.
Okay, will there be a place to specify?
Yeah.
Because that'll have to come, instead of from the store, the virtual store, directly to the purchaser. You'll have to either get the copy shipped here, autograph them.
Don't do that, because that's okay. Too much. Here's what I'll do. I'll make that announcement on Monday, exactly how to do that. But it's available on Amazon if you don't want me defacing your book. I also have book plates I can send out. If you
There's these little sheets of paper laminated with the front and back cover of the book on it. And
basically, yeah. it's a smaller version of this.
So if you know what the book signed, you can have the book sheet signed.
Right.
And insert it into the book.
Yeah. So anyway, but I just want to say, did I read this? Did I read this email?
No.
Okay.
You mentioned
it. Oh, okay. Yeah, it says, I got one. Sorry, man. And to think I wrote a book, right? he writes this. I got one of your books at the Washington Conference. It was an honor to meet you. Hopefully next time I'll get to meet you too. Where were you? Huh? In the pool? All right.
I don't know.
And he writes, I was amazed at how good the book was. Thank you so much, Neil. I couldn't put it down, he writes, and wound up only getting about 3 hours of sleep the other night so I could finish it. Thanks so much. It was just an amazing conference as well. So God bless you, Neil. God bless you. Thank you so much. Folks, we don't want to take up any more of this guest time. You know, there are some people who I think a lot of, and professionally and personally, Dr. Ted Brower is one of those people.
He's one of those people who not only, sticks his neck out there and goes against the, American Medical Association as far as taking on the medical establishment, and will bring you the unfiltered truth when it comes to his understanding and knowledge of medicine. But he also acts on what he preaches.
Yes. And we've seen that up close and personal. Now, Dr. Ted Brower has a website, healthmasters.com. I take his supplements. I really believe out of the entire country, perhaps the Western world, he's got the best supplements. And the bottom line, too, is his purple sticks. You don't need coffee. You don't need Mountain Dew. You don't need Red Bull. A purple stick will get you through. Yeah, go ahead. Personally, what I do is I take a shot of espresso, put it in a can of Red Bull with a purple stick, and I'm good to go. And I can see through walls. But no, I'm kidding about that. But no, he's got wonderful nutritional products. He has his knowledge is just beyond anything that I've. If you talk to him off air, he's the same off air as he is on air. In terms of the knowledge and the information which he can impart and does impart.
And the ability to talk as fast? No.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
He gets through so much information in such a short period of time.
You know what? He was on Coast to Coast last night.
Yeah.
Did you hear that?
No,
man?
I didn't.
Oh.
I'm hearing good things about it, though.
Absolutely. Coast to Coast AM last night. You catch the replay. It's on, I know you can find it. That's all I'm going to say. Catch the replay, Coast to Coast AM, Dr. Ted Brower on Coast, and we give a shout out to George and Lisa for that. So Coast to Coast AM, Dr. Ted Brower, really kicking some butt last night. Ted, welcome, sir.
Thank you, Doug. Thank you, Joe. I enjoyed the show last night. We had some things, some topics that I didn't get a chance to cover that I want to cover with you guys, especially since it's Easter weekend. I mean, happy Good Friday to everybody, and happy Easter weekend, or Resurrection Sunday, I guess I could say. Easter was kind of a term that was used by pagan holidays from the Roman rituals, and we can talk a little about that tonight. But it's interesting. I had a good show with George last night. We were on for 2 hours. It's a rough way to do it on the East Coast, though, because I started at 1 o'clock in the morning our time, and I was done at 3 in the morning. And then
isn't that fun?
Oh, man, and I'd taken a purple stick about 10 o'clock. And then about 1 o'clock, the purple stick had pretty much worn off, and I thought, oh, gosh, I haven't even done the show yet. And I didn't want to stay awake all night with a purple stick, so I took another quarter of a purple stick. And then George fussed at me and told me I was talking too fast. And he said, you got to slow down. And I'm like, I'm sorry, dude. There's so much material to go through. And I told George, he asked me for 30 topic questions last night. I mean, completely unrelated questions. And so I was literally prepared for 30 different shows because I had no idea what he was going to ask for. So it was an exciting adventure for me, wondering what he was going to pick about. So the one thing I really wanted to talk about, we ran out of time on last night, and because it's Easter weekend and because today's Good Friday, I really want to cover a few minutes of what we talked about back in November on the blood of Jesus because of the weekend that we're in right now and what it means to us as Christians and why it means what it means to us as far as what it does and what my theories are on how it works and how the blood works from an interdimensional standpoint. So I want to talk about that tonight. We've got a bunch of more stories I want to talk about. I pull up a bunch of information on glyphosate. I've actually pulled up the actual research that was done by Monsanto back in the 70s and the 80s and all the cancer that glyphosate Roundup has been linked to. We're going to go into detail with that. And by the way, man, if you're listening to me, you got to listen real close because one of the primary cancers that it causes is prostate cancer. This is Roundup. And so we're going to talk about that tonight in detail. So everybody grab some paper and pencil. And with you guys, I know I have plenty of time to talk, so I'm not going to talk so fast. I'm going to kind of slow down some. And it was so funny. We were going to talk about the blood of Jesus last night, and I mentioned it several times, and we never got into that topic header with George. And all day long, we were deluged with phone calls because we gave out a phone number, Doug and Joe, about the blood of Christ. Why didn't you guys talk about that? Why didn't you talk about that? And will you talk about it tonight on the Hagman Show? So I told them everybody. I told everybody last night that we're going to be on with your show tonight for 3 hours, so the entire coast-to-coast audience hopefully is tuned in to you guys now, and we're going to do some cross-collateralization on the marketing efforts as far as people listening to your show and George's show. So I'm excited about that. So we did a big promo. And by the way, he speaks very, very highly of you, Doug, and I told him likewise for you to him. So that's the way we're all supposed to do it. We're all supposed to encourage and exhort one another, build each other up in our most holy faith, and make people realize, hey, wait a minute, guys. We're all in this end times together, and we've got to work together as a team, because if we do not do that, if we do not work together as a team, what ends up happening is a divided house will fall. And that's just so important that people understand that. In fact, I want to read you something out of the Bible real quick. I read this on my show last week, and I thought it was so good that I want to read it with you guys tonight to start with the show. It's out of the book of John. Here it is. It's Jesus prays for all believers. Yes. He says, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. He's talking about us guys. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. I'm going to repeat that last verse. May they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Now, guys, let me tell you something. It's really important as believers, especially on this, you know, resurrection weekend, that we understand the love of Jesus Christ and what he's done for us and how he saved us. And without him, there is no redemption. There is no forgiveness of sins. Because quite frankly, I believe there's been many, many civilizations on this planet before. I believe this is the last one. I believe the earth was wiped out and it was formless with the void, as it says in the book of Genesis. And God came back and he separated the waters and he started over again. That's one of the reasons so many of the pyramids are under the water, particularly in the Atlantic Ocean off the coast of Florida. I mean, huge, huge areas, just pyramidal structures. Remember, the pyramidal structures were used, as was Stonehenge, on the ley lines and the magnetic lines on the planet to control the attention field in the holograph that we're in. So what ended up happening, because remember, all of this is interdimensional physics. We've talked about this in detail, and we'll talk a little bit about it again tonight. And so this entire thing that we're in is an intention field, basically a holographic matrix, that our consciousness determines the reality that we're in. And they learned a long time ago from the fallen angels that when they built these pyramids on certain places, they were like energy transmitters, that they could be used to control this. That's why they did it. That's why there's pyramids all over the place. That's one of the reasons they sacrificed human beings in many of the pyramids, especially in the Mexican area. But remember, this earth was all one continent. It was separated by plate drift. And when that happened, these ley lines and these magnetic resonance lines were changed. And so these giant transmitters, transformers of these pyramids were shut down, turned off. And then God basically wanted us to realize that this information that we had received from the Nephilim on how to do all of this stuff was not of him, and that it was evil. And so that's what we have to get when we understand interdimensional physics. But let me start real quick with, I want to talk about this if that's okay with you guys. You mind if I do this again, just part of it?
Go for it.
And here's why I want to talk about this. James Maxwell, his equation, this is, he's a physicist, he's back from the 1800s. He basically set up the second great unification of physics after Isaac Newton. Some people believe that he's up there, you know, with Einstein. He actually brought in the relativity and quantum mechanics of how the universe ties together in the unseen realms, a little different than the Isaac Newton stuff. And so what happened is a lot of, you know, energy is being produced constantly on the planet. And we talked about this about with scalar waves and with Victor Schauberger and a lot of the information and the research that he's done. And so let me share with you this very quickly how this works. A scalar wave is simply this. You take two radio waves and you lay them over each other. It forms a longitudinal wave. When you take two longitudinal waves and you lay them on top of each other, you create a scalar wave. These scalar waves, they end up passing through time-space into the fourth dimension. And when they transmit information, they know no physical barrier. In other words, if you transmit something from 100,000 or 100 million light years away via a scalar wave, it's there instantaneously as far as information. This is what prayer is. Prayer is scalar waves. That's what people need to understand. Also, what happens in the DNA? The DNA transmits single photons in the form of longitudinal waves to speak to other DNA. And if this turns out and they talk to each other, they turn back into scalar waves because you're laying the longitudinal waves over. This adds tremendous energy potential via the scalar waves. This is what human beings do when they pray. The
Yes. Not to interrupt you. Just sure. So person like me, scalar waves. Word like that goes right over my head. Now you said prayer is a scalar wave. Is let's say me talking to my dad, the voice coming out of my mouth, is that a scalar wave, or is this on another level?
Well, like if you're thinking and you're praying at the same time, because you know you're thinking and you're praying at the same time, so yes, it is a scalar wave, and the scalar waves are what create the physical reality that we're in. That's why people don't understand that. Remember we talked about, according to the German physicist Harold Wella, he says if you extract blood and you send it to Australia and you watch a horror show in the USA and your blood's in Australia, you've kept it alive with oxygen, and so it's perfectly able to be alive, that when you watch the horror show in the United States, it will produce hormones instantaneously in Australia because the biophoton information exchange is a scalar wave. It is completely independent of distance. It transmits information instantly. Okay, this is a lot of this was done with Austrian physicists. And this is what happened is with all of this Schauberger. In fact, the physicist Schauberger, he talked about this in detail. He did the initial research and he said the USA stole all of his secrets. And he did a lot of this using water vortexes and changing molecular structure. And so what's interesting about all of this stuff, again, let me make it easy for you, Joe, as far as understanding what a wave is. Because I had so much of this in physics in college, it just makes sense to me very easily because I was trained in it. Okay. If you take a water hose and you get it loose and you pick it up and you shake it, it sends a wave down the water hose. Okay?
Okay.
Like a loop. And the loop will just end by itself. What a radio wave is, it's a wave that basically is the same thing. It's a frequency modulation. That's what it's called. It's how many loops you get per second. Like 91.1 FM, it'd have X amount of 91.1 loops. Now, if you take the exact same radio wave, but you make it inverted, so the top of the loop is the bottom of the loop, that wave will cancel itself out. In other words, it just becomes straight. It's a straight line. Then if you take two of those longitudinal waves and you lay them on top of each other, it becomes a scalar wave. Now, in order to do this, you have to have a phased array dish set, antenna system. Remember what HARP is up in Alaska. It is a phased array antenna system. And because these things have to operate at 30, 60, and 90 degree angles, and that's how they work. And so the HARP system can focus these waves turn them into scalar waves and go all the way up into space and heat up giant sections of the ionosphere almost instantaneously. They're using the military domain because they can heat up a large section of the atmosphere through which a rocket's traveling. Let's say you have an ICBM coming in from Europe or from Russia or from China. The ICBM would have to come through back through the atmosphere to re-enter, and they can heat up the atmosphere in front of it to 10,000 degrees, which will melt the rocket. So as soon as it hits the 10,000 degree pocket of air, it completely destroys it without detonating the warhead. Okay, that's how it's used in the military domain. And we can talk more about how it's used from the CIA and the secret domain and all the stuff they do with it if you'd like tonight, too. We can cover that in more detail because it's been a long time since we talked about this. And tonight I'd like to take my time and go through it with you guys so it makes more sense to people. But what
I'd like to say this, and this is not based on any Bible verse or scriptural interpretation, but I was told that, you know, each one of us as believers have a certain frequency and or, I don't want to say aura, but almost that there will be technology in the future that the military / New World Order will use, and they'll be able to identify Christians because Christians or believers in Jesus resonate or have something special about them that is not something we can see with the physical eye, more in the spiritual realm.
Be careful if you use the word "or" because it has New Age connotations.
That's why I said, yeah, I don't want to use the word "or."
No. I'm being facetious right now.
Yeah.
Oh, but you have no idea. Well, I guess you would know how much trouble people get into for saying words that have different meanings to different people. And for those of you who don't know what I just said or why I said it, and the ones of you who are laughing right now, you know exactly why I said what I said. But the "or" is the energy field that surrounds the human being, and it's because we're basically an electrical machine. It's like if you have a magnet, it has an energy field around it. I mean, nobody can disclaim that. I mean, it's invisible energy around a magnet. A electric motor is the same thing. It can turn into an electromagnetic motor, which is how it works. We put out that same type of energy field around our bodies. In fact, the frequency you're talking about, Joe, determines our hair color, our eye color, and everybody's got an exact frequency of vibration because all we are is a giant vibration in the giant vibration of the universe, in the harmonics of the universe. The frequency of a human is nothing more than the measuring the scalar potential of his or her biophotons. That's it. That's how it works. This is why when Moses came off the mountain, he glowed. He literally was glowing. He had to pull a sheet over his face because everybody got so scared. Now, what's interesting about this is whenever the angels show up and they come out of their dimension, into our dimension, they're bright white lights and they're glowing. Even Jesus, when he was resurrected, when he saw the first disciples that were there, and Mary that was there, I guess it was Mary at the tomb, he says, "Do not touch me, for I have not yet returned to the Father." Chances are he was extremely hot because he had come from either an anionic or a cationic state from another dimension, and so he's probably really glowing at extreme high temperature. Because, you know, in the next life that we're in, we're going to be a flesh and bone, not of blood. And see, people need to understand how all of this works from a physics standpoint. I was first exposed to this 35 years ago by a guy by the name of Dr. Kerry Reams. So what is interesting about that, we all have our exact frequency DNA. And what they've done, because they've put us and filled us full of piezoelectric crystals that attach themselves to our DNA, these piezoelectric crystals were like little transmitters. They actually use the Morgellons antenna, which they have also implanted in us through the chemtrails, to tie into the artificial matrix around us, which is the World Wide Web, which is our iPad, which is our telephones, which is our internet, which is the Wi-Fi signal, which are the Gwen Towers, which are all of these different things, and they can actually transmit our exact DNA, our exact frequency, to the artificial intelligence. And I'm sure at that point in time, it can distinguish by the energy field that we're putting out, Joe, whether or not we're a Christian or not.
And Ted, listen to this. There's an article today out of the Independent .co.uk that talks about the title of the article is "What Believing in God Does to Your Brain," and it gets into frequencies here. It talks about the parts of your brain. Well, the parts of your brain you have to let go. They say logic and reason in order to except faith, but they said they did a research published in the journal PLOS1, found this, that the relationship between the belief in God and measures of analytic thinking and moral concern in 8 experiments using between 159 and 527 adult participants, it says both spiritual and empathetic concern positively associated with frequency of prayer or meditation. Neither were predicted by social contact, such as church dinners associated with religious affiliation. So what it says here is that the faith acts or is in a activated in a different part of your brain, and that frequency is a part of this, that it emits a certain frequency that's positively associated with prayer or meditation.
That's right. That's right. In fact, let's just talk about the blood for a second. And so I'm trying not to get in trouble on your show here, so I'm going to keep this thing as physics-oriented and biologically-oriented as I possibly can tonight. The blood is the compound that integrates all of the physical and spiritual functions of the organs. It actually allows the movement of the energies. The blood also relates to the concept of heredity, DNA, and heritage. And we're going to talk about that in a few minutes when I give you the big climax of the first part of this show, when we talk about the blood of Christ here on Good Friday. So what people need to understand is the blood of Jesus and the power of the blood that we're going to talk about in a few minutes. But remember, this frequency that we have, this scalar wave frequency, I remember our pastor a few weeks ago, and I mentioned this on a show several months ago. In fact, it was several months ago, he was talking about how a lady was hooked up in a hospice center and her brain waves were being monitored, and they were looking at her energy that was coming out of her brain. And then she started praying right before she died, and it pegged the scale greater than a 50,000-watt amplifier coming out of her brain, because it generated scalar waves coming out of her brain. The scalar waves pick up the energy fields from the planet, and they're magnified. That's what Tunguska was all about. That's what I believe happened with the Warkincliffe Tower in 1908 with Tesla. I believe he was trying to transmit energy into the North Pole. He shot over the North Pole, hit that part of Russia, and thousands of square miles were destroyed. I mean, laid those trees down flat. It's the energy fields that picks up the energy from the planet itself, and that's the same thing that happens when we pray. See, we're in quantum mechanics here now. Because of Schauberg and Maxwell and the field equations, they've taken the field equations of Maxwell out of the books as far as the scalar potential and the fourth dimensional interface. But what happens is these scalar waves, they know no time or distance. They go interdimensionally. That's why they can transmit from here to a light to a star cluster 100 million light years away instantaneously. That's what prayer does. So when you pray something and you pray it fervently and you put out these scalar waves here on this planet, it crosses the time-space barrier. It goes interdimensionally and it transfers itself across the universe instantaneously. And when they were talking to Kurzweil, when he was leaving and retiring, all the things that he was doing and to change jobs, they were asking him about the next type of energy. And then one of the guys asked him, is thought the new energy? And he goes, now you're getting close. Now you're starting to understand. See, it's the scalar wave potential that changes everything. This is why the Bible tells us that we have to pray. This is why I pray with my family every single day, because I've learned it changes the very fabric of space-time. The prayer does. And see, and Jesus knew that. And that's why he said when the demons couldn't be cast out by the disciples, he said, this type of demon only comes out through prayer and fasting. Because the fasting makes you focus more. You're praying, your scalar waves, etc. So even Jesus was talking about prayer and fasting on a regular basis. And he even taught the disciples how to pray. Now, if it sounds to you guys like I'm sold out to Jesus, you're absolutely right. I was saved in this April of 1979 while in graduate school at Florida State University. And it was an interesting story. I don't think I've ever told you this on the air. The semester before that, I was taking a class that I wasn't used to taking, and I wasn't doing as well in this class as I needed to. And I'm a pretty good student. I made a lot of A's. I made more A's, I think, than anything else. And I was praying, and I had been praying as a child as a Lutheran, but I'd really fallen away from the faith, and I really had never been truly born again as an adult. And what happened is I remember I sat on the edge of my bed. I was living in a little place called the Willows Apartment up there in Tallahassee in graduate school. And I prayed. I said, Lord, you know, I really don't pray to you. I haven't prayed in a long time, but I got a deal for you. You get me through this class, which I really want to get through, I'll make it up to you. I'm kind of playing poker chips with God, right? And all of a sudden, I said, amen. And so I kind of just did that little prayer. And it was kind of interesting because the following semester, I'm telling my whole life story. Hope you guys are enjoying my little life story here on how I got saved. The following semester, there was this beautiful brunette in one of my classes. It was this graduate psychology class that I was taking that was called Infant Mother Attachment. And I needed to complete my degree in psychology while I was also doing my MBA program at Florida State. I was finishing my fourth college degree, third and fourth at the same time. And I remember her name was Melinda. I'm not going to give out her last name out of respect to her. And she was gorgeous. She was a brunette with blue eyes. I mean, just stunningly beautiful woman. And I started talking to her in class. Well, I ended up going out on a date with her, and she ended up inviting me to church about 2 months later. And I thought to myself, my goodness, you know, God's cashing in these chips that I prayed about last semester already. So I went to church with her, and for the first time I heard the gospel preached about being born again, being baptized, you know, repentance, and all of the things that we know now as believers that we're supposed to do that the modern church has somewhat forgotten. And I remember I told Melinda, I said, I need to get born again. And she was so shocked, I'll never forget that. And sure enough, a couple Sundays later, they wanted to baptize me in front of the church, and they did. And I was born again, and I was my whole life completely and totally changed. And so that's what happened to me. And see, that's the power of prayer and the power of commitment. But see, I never made a commitment to man or to the pastor. I understood who my Savior was. I understood who my Redeemer was. And when I was born again, I was born again for keeps. I've never fallen away. I've never backslid. I've never done any of that. Now, have I sinned and done things wrong? Absolutely, yes. I continue to do that on a regular basis, and I always ask God to forgive me. But I realize that to whom much has been forgiven, much is required. And I began to realize that at a very, very young age. And then we started Health Masters, which was under Brower Marketing, Brower and Associates, back in the early 80s, and then we've transitioned into Health Masters with the World Wide Web. And so we've been in business now for 35 years, basically marketing the finest, highest quality supplements in the world. And the same supplements that I take are the same ones that I manufacture for you guys. So we all take the same stuff, lest you think that I'm doing something different. But that's how the blood works. Let's talk about Morgellons for a second. Because of this 30, 60, 180 degree angles for scalar waves, this is what happens when you pray over water and you have holy water. This actually happens to water. It physically changes its molecular structure when you pray over water and you bless the water. Okay. Also, when water moves at high speeds, it causes a water vortices and it upconcentrates scalar potential. When water will actually self-ionize if it's moved at more than 200 meters per second, it will start to glow and shine blue, and it will actually change itself and become electrically charged and start producing a current, almost like an electromagnetic pulse. This is what happened in the field density strengths of the ley lines on the planet. You actually have this energy being produced by this water moving at these high speeds in the planet. This is where they built their pyramids. It creates a 10,000 time field density over standard electrical current. It's incredible what water will do. These ley lines then encircle the planet. This is where Stonehenge and these other sites were built to concentrate energy. This creates scalar potential, and it brings the fourth dimension into reality. Okay, this is what happens. When the oceans of the deep opened and the power of the Holy Spirit released and split the continents, all of these energy-producing devices were shut down. That's why they don't work anymore. That's why they're just there. And remember, apparently, quote, fallen angels don't eat what we think of as they should eat. In fact, when you looked at the, quote, unquote, aliens that were found in the Roswell crash, they had no intestinal tract. They had no rectum. Apparently, they consume biophotons from other species as their energy source. Hence, that's why it says that Satan runs about as a roaring lion seeking those who may be devour. And as Christians, we have got to wrap our heads around the fact that angels aren't from around here, okay? Neither are demons. These things are not supposed to be here, but that they're here. They've been with us for thousands and thousands of years. Whatever you want to call them, it doesn't make any difference. But remember, these biophotons that the DNA uses to transmit information that can be converted to scalar waves and potential. Hence the black magic human sacrifice rituals. They're doing the same thing to extract the maximum energy to control the intention field, which creates the reality of the hologram that we live in, according to quantum physics, which have proven this. This is transmitted through the 6th through 12th dimensions. This is, again, why they force all of this negative energy on the planet. It is their food source. In other words, that we are their food source from the energy that we produce. This is why these Hollywood people get together in these circles of 13 and sacrifice humans, because these beings are being fed from this. And when they get fed from this, this is what Hollywood is all about. Then they turn around and they change the attention field on the planet, and they give these guys all the stuff they want, their planes and their trains and their homes and their lifestyles. But it costs them. It costs them their soul. Part of the smart dust is Morgellons. These are self-replicating hollow fibers based on a fungus, but they're more than that. They're also micro-insecticide fungi who are part of the plant family. They're a cross-domain species. That's what they are. They steal these things actually steal the DNA from insects when they create a fruiting body. This Morgellons fungus brings this fungus to human DNA, and they are basically indestructible in the body. It's horrible to get rid of these things. That's why you have to maintain your system with a healthy protocol for maintaining the immune system, which we have at healthmasters.com on the front page, right under the Hagman blood sugar protocol and the Hodges healthy joint protocol. Many of these Morgellons sufferers have had a background in black magic. I'm going to repeat that. Many of the Morgellons sufferers have had a black background in black magic, and many of them are contaminated by heavy metals. A lot of them have a lot of tattoos, which can contaminate you with heavy metals. Okay? Then what happens is, you know, they literally drain the energy out of these people. That's why the sorcerers, they make a deal with these demonic entities to feed them, possessed by them, hence the sacrifices. In return, they give them the power in this hologram to give them stuff that they want, including power and things. So when we look at why, you know, we have to ask ourselves, why are we the victims? Well, 90% of humans live as victims. Less than 1% of the evil ones dominate the rest of the planet. We must reconnect with God through Jesus Christ to take control of our reality. This is oneness with God that all of us need, but few of us have ever obtained. The Bible says, wide is the gate that leads to destruction, but narrow is the gate that leads to eternal life. And this is what people need to understand. We have taken our energy, and we have elected these officials in Washington, and Doug, you'll attest to this, almost probably 40 to 50% of these guys are involved in things they shouldn't do, amoral activities, including pedophilia, adultery, homosexuality, all of these things they're being blackmailed for by the Secret Service, etc., or the CIA, and so they vote certain ways at certain times in order to facilitate this black magic. And we have taken that energy, we have given them the power, the politicians over us, the politicians have given it to the military has given that back to the CIA has given it to the sorcerers and these black magicians, and they're tying it back into the AI, the artificial computer that's going to tie into us through this Morgellons antenna that they are basically putting into us via all of these chemtrails. That's why you have to keep yourself, you know, cleaned up and not allow yourself to be taken over by this stuff. It's so, so very important, because when they spray us with these piezoelectric crystals, they're absorbed by our body. They're microwavable, so when they hit us with the Harper energy waves, it can actually change our energy and shifts our frequency, and we can start up converting microwave energy to biodigestible light, which is what these demons apparently eat. Now, this is all just research that I've done. That's deep into this research. Now, I haven't seen any of this as far as double-blind research studies. This sends light into the DNA, reading out the information of the DNA. That's exactly what you were talking about earlier, Joe, and how they know our DNA. This is processed by the Morgellons antenna and processed by the artificial intelligence community to read our state of mind. They can insert energy through HARP, through these antenna fields, using the sea-based radar domes, the Gwen towers, the cell towers, the Doppler radars, all of these cell towers around the planet globally to put the right frequency they want through us. Last night, my last phone call on Coast to Coast was a military man who was involved in the Gulf War in 2003. That's when they tested all of this stuff. This was all tested in 2003. And what they, let me read you the article on that I pulled up on that. And what they did is that they actually went in and they wanted to do a beta test on this to see how it worked. They spent $10 billion on this testing to optimize the cluster topology on how it actually worked inside of these people before they were being tested. And this is what happens with the people who get this Morgellon stuff inside of them, because they basically get to the point where this stuff is growing out of them if they can't control their own immune systems. Now, if your immune system is strong, it's not going to do that to you. It simply can't, because your body it will take care of it. Our body has been much, much, much more powerful than they ever thought it would be. because they don't know how to turn it off, pretty much. But I'm going to talk about the blood of Jesus and what that does in just a second.
Hang on a second, Ted. Let me ask you a question here. I think this is the appropriate time to ask this question.
Sure.
Because you are in the nutrition field, you have degrees in, you know, you've got your degrees. If what I'm hearing you say, and correct me if I'm wrong, because I've gotten this question a couple of times over the last couple of years, the stronger and healthier your body is, and through, for example, taking nutritional supplements, taking the nutrients, the vitamins, minerals, whatever you might call them, the supplements that you sell, by the way, but regardless of that, because of the deficiency in our foods, creates a stronger physical body, which in turn creates a stronger spiritual presence. Is that true, or is that, in other words, is okay? Well, let me simplify that question. Somebody with Morgellons, does that affect their spiritual component? Or,
well, I personally believe that once you're connected to God and His dimension through the Holy Spirit, I believe that you're complete in Him, and I believe He will make you complete. I believe the Morgellons will really affect you in a negative way if your body is sick and you're not able to get to the point where you need to get to be healed. We're going to talk about that in a minute with the blood of Jesus, because by His stripes we were healed. By the shedding of His blood we were healed. Without the shedding of blood there is no sacrifice for sins. But the truth is, Doug, you're absolutely right. It's very difficult for a sick Christian to be an effective witness to a healthy heathen. I'm just being honest with you guys now.
Right.
If you're sick all the time and you're trying to convert somebody to Christianity who works out and is in great shape, who looks great and feels great, all of a sudden they're like, you know, why do I want what you've got? Well, I've got the righteous peace and joy through the Holy Spirit. Yeah, but you're sick all the time and you're always on these diseases. You've got all these drugs. You're hallucinating all the time. You're always in bed. You've always got a cold. I just don't want what you've got. See, that's what we need to understand as Christians. It's our responsibility to learn what we need to learn. I'll never forget, Doug. Man, that's a great question you ask. I'll never forget. Years ago, I was teaching a class at Carpenter's Home Church, and I was there for, 4 years. We had over 5,000 people go through the class. Sometimes we'd have 50, 150 people at one time in the class. And I'll never forget, I had this couple that was really, really attentive, and they were always in the class. They were there every single week for about a month and a half. And it was a series of about 14 lectures that I went through on a regular basis, which allowed these people to learn all kinds of stuff about body chemistry, about pH, about everything. And finally, one day, they just disappeared. And when somebody sits on the front row and they're very attentive, you miss them. You notice that they're not there. So finally, one day, I'm walking through the parking lot of Carpenter's Home Church, which has since been torn down. It's a huge 10,000-seat facility. And I walk through the parking lot, and these guys weren't there. I mean, they were there, but they weren't coming to class anymore. And I asked them, I said, guys, you know, what happened? Why are you not coming to the class anymore? And they used a scripture. They said, for he who knows what to do and doesn't do it, for that person, it's a sin. And quite frankly, Ted, we didn't want to know anymore because we didn't want to be held accountable for what we knew because we weren't doing it. And I said to them, I said, well, guys, that's kind of awful, isn't it? I mean, how are you going to help yourself and your family and your children to prevent heart disease, diabetes, cancer, ADD, autism? The list goes on and on and on. And they said, well, it doesn't matter. We're just going to go ahead and just walk by faith and not by sight. And I said, okay, well, you can always walk by faith. Never saw them again. But the point is this. That's the vast majority of Christians, Doug. You know, we talk about the Hagman blood sugar protocol and how your sugars were over 500 or right at 500. And we were able to bring them down to normal with just in a few months by changing your diet and by changing your lifestyle and having you take supplements. Or Dave Hodges was able to avoid knee surgery. Or we have the healthy immune system protocol. Or how I was able to get over pericarditis, which almost killed me when I was in bed for 3 months. I mean, all of these things we talk about and all of the testimonials that I've read and talked about, but a lot of people simply don't get it. But folks, listen to me tonight. The book of Ecclesiastes says, for every time there's a time for everything under the sun. There's a time for you to change and there's a time for you not to change. Tonight's that time for you to change. I'm just telling you that. I'm going into detail with this stuff even more so than we did the first time we went over it with you guys back in November. The primary reason I picked tonight is because it's Resurrection Weekend. Today is Good Friday. and because I didn't get a chance to cover it last night on Coast to Coast, and I know I got a boatload of people that are listening right now wanting to know from Coast to Coast how in the world this thing works, which I'm fixing to talk about in just a second. But the thing about this is, guys, listen, please, if you're not going to change your diet, if you're not going to stop eating the things that you know are making you sick, when are you? I had a friend of mine, he's had a horrible time with his prostate. Horrible time with his prostate. I kept telling him, do this to glyphosate. It's the GMO foods. It's the chemicals in your water. It's all of this stuff. No, it's not. No, it's not. No, it's not. I said, okay, okay, okay. Now it's to the point he's in his mid-50s. He's about to have his prostate removed, which pretty much for most guys means means they're going to be impotent from that point on. So now he's stressed out. His PSAs are through the roof. And finally I said to him, I said, I finally found the research, and I called him up today. He's a good friend. And I said, Mike, listen to me. I said, one of the primary causes of prostate problems in men is the use of Roundup, glyphosate. Monsanto proved it with their own research back in the 70s. I've got the documentation releasing it through the Freedom of Information Act. You have plenty of money. You've got to start eating organic. You have to stop doing this to your body and keeping this yo-yo weight going on. Today needs to be the day that you turn your life around. See, that's the question you have to ask yourself tonight if you're listening. What am I doing? What's it doing to me? And is that okay? What am I doing? What's it doing to me? And is it okay? If you're eating or you're smoking or you're drinking and you're doing all of these things you shouldn't ought to do, ask yourself, what's it doing to me? And is it okay? It's the same thing when I talk to my kids. I'll say to them, who are you hanging out with? What's it doing to you? And is it okay? And then variable, let's say, well, Dad, you know, it's not really helping my attitude. I don't think I need to hang out with this person anymore. The same thing that's true. I mean, if we know that cigarettes cause high blood pressure, and we know that cigarettes cause cancer, and we know that alcohol causes pancreatic cancer, liver cancer, cirrhosis of the liver, alcoholism, osteoporosis, and breast cancer, if we know all of these things, and we know that from the research, and now there's like 20 different types of cancer that's caused by glyphosate, when is it going to be time to change all of this? So that's an excellent question, Doug. Christians in general need to realize that I understand that we're saved by grace through faith through our Lord Jesus Christ. But if God continually renews our DNA through the blood of Christ, through scalar waves and frequencies, why are we constantly doing the things that are going to damage our DNA? Why are we doing that? Why are we continually doing that? To me, that's testing God, and we shouldn't be allowed to do that. As far as the scripture tells us not to do that, it tells us not to test God. Even Jesus himself, when he was tested by Satan to step off the temple, you know, he basically said, no, don't test the Lord your God. Last year, when I was viciously attacked because I'd used the word correctly but had different meanings to it, Doug, I never lashed back in anger, and I still haven't done that. I've never mentioned any names on my shows. I apologized multiple times because I knew that it's the love of God that separates us. We have to have unity of the believer through our spirit. That's what the book of John says. That's why I started with that scripture tonight. We have to be different than the heathen. If somebody stumbles and falls as a Christian, we've got to say, hey, wait, guys, let's go ahead and pick him back up. Let's dust him off. Let's show him a better way to go. Maybe we shouldn't be sitting here and, you know, killing our wounded and tearing people apart. And see, that's the whole goal. And so, yes, we need to be the best we can be for Jesus Christ every single day of our lives. We need to be thankful to God Almighty for the fact that we have Resurrection Sunday and that our sins are forgiven as far as the East is from the West, and that we have a relationship with Jesus Christ and with God Almighty in the highest dimension that there is in the universe, and that he's got us tied to him through the Holy Spirit, and that all we have to do is believe in him, believe in his name, ask for forgiveness, repent, and he ties us up with him forever. And he shares his omnipotence with us, and he gives us authority over these lower dimensions that we're in, and it puts Lucifer under our feet. That's what the Word of God says that we have through Christ Jesus. We're not going to elevate ourselves through multiple dimensions. We're not going to do any of that stuff. God does that for us when we accept Jesus Christ. See, that's what the difference is between what I believe and what Christians believe and what the New Age believe. They believe you could transcend and go higher in these dimensional frequencies by yourself, by your own works, and by thinking positive things. That's not true. It doesn't work that way. And that's why they're empty and shallow, and they're constantly always looking for something else, something else, something else. We don't have to look for something else. We've got the answer through Christ Jesus. He's the beginning and the end. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's forever our Redeemer and our Savior. And he continues to transmit these healing frequencies. In fact, let me read this real quick.
I'm going to share before this you do, I just want to, you mentioned something, okay, this being Resurrection Sunday, this being Good Friday. I just want to make this clear because Ted, we get a lot of emails, and people will lash out at us saying you are celebrating a pagan holiday. I just want to make this statement. We understand the pagan origins of Easter. We understand the Astera, the pagan religions from the Mediterranean area, and the era in which the major seasonal holiday of religious celebrations and such. We understand that. We are celebrating the resurrection
of
our Lord and Savior. We're we're not pagans, okay? We are. I just want to be clear, because people will say, "Oh, this has nothing to do with the Easter Bunny. This has nothing to do."
Nope.
Okay.
It's not a fertility ritual.
Thank you. I just want to make that perfectly clear, because I can tell you that our email box is going to explode by saying, well, you're celebrating Easter. No, we're not. We're celebrating the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and I defend my right to do so. And if you don't think that's right, then do whatever you want to do.
Well, the problem with all of this stuff, okay, and here's the thing. When the pagans from the Roman Catholic, when the pagans from the Roman Empire took over the church in the 4th century around 323 with Constantine, they brought in all of these religious pagan festivals, okay? And we can go into detail with them, and the people are absolutely right. And when we worship Yeshua, it has nothing to do with this. That's why you've heard me say over and over again, it's Resurrection Sunday. It's Resurrection Weekend. I try not even to use the word Easter, because I know what it means. I know it's Yahweh. I know it's Yeshua. And I know that we need to return back to the first and second century church before the Roman Catholic Church bastardized Christianity is what they did. They brought all this heathen crap into it. It was awful what they did. You say, well, you shouldn't say crap. Whatever. You use the word that comes to your mind. But the point is this. They changed it, and then they turned it into a control grid. The church has been a control matrix since the 3rd century with Constantine, where they made it part of the Roman Catholic Church took over Christianity and made it a state religion. And it's been used to control and enslave people now for thousands of years. We've got to return back to the 1st century church. We've got to return back to the books of the Bible. We've got to return back to walking in love and in unity. And sure, you may not like what I say. I'm okay with that. You don't have to like everything that I say. But here's the thing. You know that I'm saved. I believe in the virgin birth. I believe Jesus Christ was born of the flesh. I believe all of those things. And for people who have said to me and said publicly that I don't believe that, that's a lie. And you guys know it's a lie. You know I never said that. And I've clarified myself repeatedly on all of my shows and repeatedly on your show, Doug. And I want people to know that I'm completely 100% sold out to Jesus Christ. I am not a New Ager. But I do believe in physics. I don't stick my head in the sand and think that radar waves and energy waves are of the devil. I don't believe any of that stuff. It's physics. It's Newtonian physics. It's part of what's going on with the Maxwell field equations. It's part of what's going on with Schauberger. All of this stuff is Einstein. It's all Isaac Newton. It's all of this. And we can't pretend like none of this stuff is real. We have to realize that the CIA is a black magic-inspired organization. When they stopped doing this remote viewing, when that program came to an end, they actually brought witches into the CIA to do spells. And the Tavistock Institute of Human Relations was started in 1946. It's basically through the CIA of Naval Intelligence, Doug, you know that. And that we know these are all black magic institutions. They're the Black Brotherhood, you know, and they all sit in the same street out there in Silicon Valley. You got Singularity University with Kurzweil, the founder, and Google with Kurzweil, and the headquarters of NASA, which is basically right down the street. These are all Black Brotherhood organizations. Look at the Jack Parsons, the rocket scientist back from the 40s, who was doing satanic incantations and satanic worship openly. We know all of this, and we also know that Wernher von Braun became a Christian while he was living in Texas, a Baptist church. He got saved, and after he quote-unquote did the moonshot, he had enough of all of this. He left NASA, and of course he died a couple years later from a fast-acting cancer because he was a born-again Christian. See, Wernher von Braun had an epiphany. He changed. He didn't want to be part of this anymore and all the lies. We have been lied to so much since 1913 with the founding of the Federal Reserve Bank, and again when the United States went bankrupt in 1933, and then again with the Exchange Stability Fund in 1934, then the seizing of the gold in 1933, with the black operations, the CIA, the Roswell crash, all of this stuff. We've got to stand for what the truth is, guys.
You're absolutely right. We do have to stand up for the truth, and especially in a day and age where the truth is considered hate speech, it's opposite of what the world wants, opposite of what the media is promoting, and it is going to take a godly people to stand up for the truth of the Lord. We'll be right back with Dr. Ted Brewer, healthmasters.com. Also, tune into his show 3 to 4 p.m. here on Global Star Radio Network each and every day on Sundays 7 to 8. We'll be right back with Ted Brewer.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.